Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God will return very soon. Imminently will He return. And He loves us. But because of His justice, He has to judge His creation. He gave mankind a space of time to repent, to come into the kingdom of God. And this is a time He's about to judge the earth, not the earth, the world system, for rejecting Jesus Christ. And for all the murder of the prophets. Everything is going to be judged and set right. You know, when you see injustice happen, people wonder why God don't do something. Well, in the days of grace, whatever He does through man. But when the lease is up, that's when He moves. Now, in the middle of the tribulation, you see greater things happening. When the lease is up, God starts doing things. All of these things were prophesied. When the difference between a storm that comes and tear up everything and leave destruction in its wake, and the judgment of God is, when the storm come, God had nothing to do with it. Not anything He had. That's something that happened. That's a combination of the earth reacting to what man have done on the earth, and also demonic activity. Remember when Elijah was on the mountain and that was a great earthquake, and God wasn't in the earthquake. That was great winds. God wasn't in the wind. That was a fire. God wasn't in the fire. And then He spoke to Elijah in a still small voice. Well, when the tornadoes come on the plain and hurricanes come on the seaports, that's not God's doing. If God did, He prophesied, He'd have prophets to warn people so that they could prepare and repent, and then it wouldn't have to happen. Now, Nineveh was going to be destroyed just like Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Lord sent Jonah to warn them. Now, when you see real prophets of God warning people, and we got modern day prophets that's warning America now and encouraging them to repent so things can be avoided. God raised up Jonathan Kahn, a Jewish prophet, and He gave him undeniable truths. He wrote books about current events in our day, and it's accurate to the point, all the way down to the very dot is accurate. He gave us Perry Stone, a man that lives life and they warn people about things that happen, and many others. And every prophet has his own assignment. Some encourage people, some warn the nation. And if America don't repent, that's the theme of all the books that Jonathan Kahn wrote. Repent. Turn now. Go back to God now. And then you can be spared about the things that's going to happen. And if enough people repent, then things will be normal. It'll be good. It'll be like it should be. Continually. But when people get in gross sins, men marrying men, and people aborting their babies, and doing all the corrupt things, it causes problems. And things have to happen. And all the wars, they happen according to the Shemitah years, the seven, everything. World War I, World War II, even the current events, they happen because of man's determination to not repent. And they continue to trust sin. And you have to consider what God said in the first place. Now, what the Lord put on my heart last night for the day is focus. Whatever we trust, that's what we obey. Whatever we trust, that's what we focus on. Whatever we focus on can become big in our eyes. Now, I always talk about how Jesus said, if your eye be single, your whole being will be full of light. Your whole body will be full of light. That means your spirit, your soul, and your body will have the knowledge of God. If you're looking at Him, if your focus is on the things of God, that's the way we see God. We see His Word. We remember His Word. We speak His Word. We commune with the Holy Spirit. We're focused on what He's saying. We're taking Him by His Word, by faith. See, faith believes God. Faith looks to God. That's what real heart faith does. That's what the God kind of faith does. It looks to God. It believes God. If Adam had believed God in the first place, we would have no sin. You know, he would still be alive if he didn't sin. Now, his children, if somebody sinned, they would have had problems. They would have died out. But if Adam didn't sin and his children didn't sin, and then we learn how to combat Satan out of our world, there'd be no sin. Well, his temptations will have nothing to attach to. And our society would be strong and our world would look 1,000 times better than it already does. That would be order where there's chaos. Adam could have made the whole earth look like the Garden of Eden by now. It's the way we set things up in our heart, what we focus on. And an easy way to know what you focus on is, what do you obey? What is your final decision? If you're looking at the Word of God and governing your life by His Word, the wisdom of the Proverbs, the relationship of the Psalms, the closeness of the Psalms, the focus of Jesus in the Gospels, the warning of Revelation, the encouragement of the Gospels. When you're governing your life by the Word of God, the foundation of Genesis, when you govern your life accordingly, biblically, your life can't be taken from you. It can't be torn down. And when Satan tempts you, there will be nothing for his temptations to attach to. James said, purify your hands, you sinners. You can stop your hands from sinning because God gave you power. If you have power to fulfill the law, you can drive sin out of your life. And we do have power to fulfill the law. We can keep it because we were washed in the blood of the Lamb. His blood is holy. His blood works. We have a new heart, new desire, new intentions. And we have to build on them. And we should never let sin get in our heart, because we don't have to. And watch unforgiveness. It leads to disaster. Remember, if we don't forgive, God can't forgive us. And we need Him to forgive us of all those sins that we did before we were saved and after. So we need to know that we have to set our hearts to forgive. People are going to do you wrong. They're not going to understand everything you're doing. They're going to see things differently. They're going to argue. It's inevitable. And if it's not totally inevitable, it's not probable that they won't. It's more probable that they will. But as people grow, they do better. As people understand the Lord, they do better. And especially when they get saved. And even when they get saved, there's still going to be things that they'll misunderstand. But God is faithful and He loves us. Now, the Lord is alive. And He's coming back soon. And He's going to do great and wonderful works in our day. So we need to know Him. We need to focus on Him. Whatever you focus on That becomes your determination. All the blessings of God, all of them, everything God bless you with, everything you enjoy, Jesus put it this way. He didn't use the word focus, but he said, let your treasure be in heaven. Don't treasure the things on this earth. All the blessings, don't focus on them. Whatever God bless you with, use it. Enjoy it. But it's not the drive of your life. If you get a new house and you finally got the house you desire, a dream came true, you got it, you enjoy it, don't focus on it. It's just a house. And when the rapture happens, you got to leave it. You're going to leave that house. So it is with the car. And even in our relationships, enjoy your relationships. But don't focus on the people. People are not always the same. They do things, you know, according to how they see things and whatever they're focusing on. Sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong. Sometimes we need balance. So we have to focus on Him. And like I said many other times, if you focus on the Lord and His righteousness, then you will be able to enjoy the people that God put in your life. You'll be able to enjoy your spouse, your children, your house, your car, whatever, your job. Everything, that, as we focus on the Lord, things are, we also put things in its proper perspective. Things that will bother us don't bother us as much. We can quickly forgive. We have the wisdom to share with people. If you focus on them, whatever they say, that, you know, if you fear, if you get disturbed by what they do or say, and you can be pressured into compromising somewhere, any form of fear is going to be a problem for you. Remember, fear attaches Satan to your life. He can work through fear. Fear has no foundation. If somebody has a disagreement, don't fear that they'll leave. Don't fear the worst. Don't fear that it's all over now just because they're having a disagreement. But when you're focused on the Lord, you can be settled. You can see it for what it is, and God will help you with give the right counsel at the right time. Say the right thing, or know not to say anything. Things are still in place. And another advantage is you'll see what the devil's up to, and you can just tell him to stop. I've had great success just telling Satan to stop his activity. And I learned something from Kenneth Hagin. He said, a lady was trying to get her son to go to church and do right and grow in the Lord. And she was badgering him about it. And it was aggravating him and it was aggravating her. And she went to Kenneth Hagin about it. He said, don't do that. That's a choice he's got to make in his heart. I want to do justice to what Kenneth Hagin said. I don't remember everything he said word for word. But the thing that stood out, he said, pray for him and say that you surround him with love and with faith. And she did that, and on his own, he started going to church with her and growing in the Lord, and he went forward in life. So when I see something like that, I started doing the same thing. At random, I just pray for all of my children. I call their names and my sisters. See, I have authority over my children because I'm their father. And I surround them with love and with faith. And I pray for everybody I know. Now, my sister, she prayed for everybody every day and called their name. But I don't do that because I'm always doing something. I pray for people at random. Consistently, but at random. That's just the way it is. But it's good. If the Lord puts something on my heart to pray about, I pray about that. If He puts something on my heart to say to somebody, I say that. See, but when you focus on the Lord, you You don't miss the blessings that are there. You don't miss the opportunities that are there daily. God always, every day, gives us opportunities. Now, some people wouldn't see an opportunity for what it is. Let's say you're on your everyday job, you get a job that's just hard to do. And it happens to me. I don't know what to do with it. But I'll say with my mouth, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to find the problem and I'm going to solve it once and for all. And I go and do research and I get the problem solved. And that was an opportunity from God. I handle it faithfully. And then what happens next? Sometimes it benefits me in many ways. But I learn things and I share with other people. It blesses them. Whoever needed the car or truck, they get that vehicle back and it works. People talk about the good things that happen to them. And they see a person that say they love God actually doing things and solving problems. That helps them. It develops rapport with people. There are many blessings that come from even simple things that we overlook. Now, if I had a bad attitude, they need to sell that car or junk that truck and just refuse to fix it, then I missed a good opportunity. Anytime you have a hard case, sometimes that very hard case is your opportunity, because you're more than a conqueror. You're made in God's image. You know, I fix machines. I fix cars and trucks. And sometimes the older a car gets, the more things can go wrong with it that you may have never seen. But every time I say, well, God, man made this car, but God made me, and I'm going to figure it out. When I take that position, it puts me in it sets me up to learn something I don't know. And then I pray and I involve God. I ask the Lord, show me what's going on. I need your help. And I look at it and it opens the door for him to show me what. See, the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. Now, he don't spell it out, but he'll guide me. Sometimes he show me what to do. When I do all I know, and then he'll show me what to do. Or where to look. And when you do that, and then you tell people, then they're going to get in a pinch and they'll know that they can do the same thing. And the Holy Spirit always answers me. He always shows me things. I still have to do the work. It's not easy either. But it doesn't have to be. You're more than a conqueror. Made in God's image. You can learn anything you want. You can change whatever you want to change. You can do whatever you want to do, and you can be whatever you want to be. But you have to seize the opportunities, and you do that by focus. Now, the way some people focus on different things, you can focus on your lack, things that you don't have, and you'll become disgruntled. And you can't see how to do better. And when you can't see a better way, the enemy will try to get you to do something you shouldn't do, such as steal, be lazy, can't walk around with a bad attitude, gripe, complain. And when you complain, you really can't see. Your problem looks bigger than God. It's best to never, ever complain. God told the children of Israel when they in the Exodus, never complain. Complaining is the reverse of words of faith. I know that words of faith work because I practice them. And it works. I don't know what to do when I have a hard case. But I seek the Lord and I continue to search. Jesus says, seek and you'll find. I do research. I do what I can do. And then he point me in the right direction. He give me a strategy. Sometimes he just give me a strategy so I can find the problem. I had a car that kept cutting off, and I said, I'm gonna look at all the components on this circuit to see what could do that. And most of the time I fixed the problems on the car, like the sensors, but this time I saw the relays. I said, what's happening is that relay is going out. So I fixed the components on the car, like I normally would, and I said, I'm gonna change the relays too, and the car didn't come back with the same problem. The Holy Spirit is involved in our lives if we involve Him in our lives. It's all about how we focus. If you focus on the blessing, it can cause you to be anxious about the blessing. If you focus on your spouse, eventually they're going to do something to rub you the wrong way, and you'll feel like your world is just folding in on you. And it's not. That's just another a person with a different focus. And it can be good or bad, but people are different. Jesus is our high priest because sometimes we have a bad day. Sometimes we need Him to pray us in. Jesus told Peter that Satan's going to try to sift your mind as wheat. He couldn't do nothing with his heart, but he was going to try to sift his mind with like wheat. And Peter, he was bold enough to follow Jesus to where they had him captured. But then he denied him. He had a storm going on in his mind. And the Lord prayed for him. He said, when you strengthen your brothers. And he did. Jesus is our high priest. Don't look at what happened or your failure. Don't see, if you focus on your failure will be too big. It can become bigger than God. You'll think you just stuck there in life, and you're not. You fail, don't fail anymore. Jesus told the lady that was caught in adultery, go and sin no more. You've already sinned, you've been forgiven, now go and sin no more. Don't go do it again. And she was very thankful. She stopped focusing on her sin. And she started focusing on the Lord and the words of Jesus. And she built her life up. She was able to renew her life. She had a new beginning. You can't have a new beginning with an old focus. And I see people all the time, their focus is southbound. They're looking at things the wrong way. Like I said, even blessings, don't focus on the blessing. Thank God for them, but stay focused on Him. And you can enjoy that blessing. How many people you hear about people that have yachts and never go, or buy brand new boats and never go enjoy them? That's because if you don't focus, if your focus is not right, and you have to work, you put yourself in a position where you worry and you have to work all the time, then you're not going to have time to enjoy what God has blessed you with. See, what's the use? What's the good in having a boat and you never can go to the lake or the river? But if you follow God, not only will you get the boat, you'll have time to enjoy it. And when you get there, you'll have peace of mind to enjoy it with. Everything works together. And when you focus on the Lord, things heal. You're in a much better category. When people come to interrupt you, you're focused on the Lord and you can win. When you're focused on the Lord and people come to get you to co-sign, you know not to do it because you're focused on the Lord. You're focused on the wisdom of the Proverbs. And they're focused on their need. That's all they're looking at. And they're not asking God to help them. And you're about to get caught in a trap. Without wisdom, you're on the road to being garnished. They don't need to garnish your wages because they're not going to pay for it. Most of the time when people want you to co-sign, they back out. Not every time, but many times. So the wisdom of the Proverbs said, be surety for no man. And if I was going to do it, it would be for my children. But that's not something I do. I trust God more than man. And God has a plan. And I told my children how to establish their own credit and never use it unless for only for important things. And I taught them how to save, so like my mother taught me, so that they can do, so that they won't be a slave in society. I warned them against credit card debt. I said never get those payday loans. That's way out of the question. Now, the wisdom of God is here. Opportunities are daily given by God. But if you're focused on Him, you'll see them for what they are. And if you don't, you'll miss them. It's all about how we focus. And we'll revisit this when the Lord, you know, possibly next time. But I'm out of time. The Lord is not here. Continue to mightily move in your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.